This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
We've got a whole life ahead of us, touch wood, and just making that decision now is never too late. Because what are you going to do? Accept that what is, life's okay. You're going to accept that it's fine. I might as well carry on, but you're not really happy. Or are you going to draw that line and say, I deserve better. I deserve me. I deserve my self-worth. I deserve the best remaining years of my life to be optimal, to be aspirational, to follow my dreams. And because everything is so much better being alcohol free, your energy levels, I could go on and on, but I will just tell you this because it's important. After I'd given up alcohol for 3 months, three major health improvements happened for me. I came off high blood pressure tablets. I no longer had high blood pressure. And I also suffered with two quite severe chronic skin conditions, psoriasis and rosacea, both inflammatory. And they both disappeared along with the high blood pressure after I'd been alcohol free for 3 months. And my doctor couldn't believe it. And she said, and I knew, she knew it had to be the removal of alcohol.
Kate Nichols there, this week's guest on Over the Influence. You know, we get dead excited when we go transatlantic. Kate is based in Canada, emigrated there a number of years ago. And I think you're going to really enjoy this chat. Kate is so honest about her relationship with alcohol, decided to make the change in her late 50s because of the impact that her drinking was having on her relationships with her families. Safe to say, life has changed immeasurably. She is now an alcohol freedom coach. You can find all her information at freedomeffect.com. That's freedomeffect with an A-F-F-E-C-T .com. Loads to talk about. The conversation goes off in a million different directions, and we hope you enjoy it just as much as we did. Let's get into this week's episode.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Becky, and I was a typical grey area drinker. I'd managed to do several stints of alcohol-free life, but would regularly falter around the three-month mark. This time, I joined the fabulous OTI community, and it was just what I needed. The Zooms were a game-changer for me, connecting with people who relate and support you through the struggles, but who also really understand and celebrate the importance and the significance of the mini-wins and the milestones. OTI is full of amazing people. I'm just approaching 7 months alcohol-free and I feel absolutely fantastic.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. We say it every week because we mean it. Thank you for listening. It is great to have you here, wherever you may be on your alcohol-free journey. If you are listening for the first time, wondering who on earth we are, brief introductions. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I am over 6 years alcohol-free, sober, teetotal, however you want to label it. I used to drink quite a lot, and I used to drink very regularly, and I used to drink very, very quickly, like it was actually going out of fashion. Took a break from the booze back end of 2018, and that was all it was ever supposed to be. And here we are, wanging on about how amazing sober life can be, more than 6 years on. It's ace. I just wish, I think, I'd done it a bit sooner, then I could have experienced some of the magic a little bit sooner. Ben Anderson, how are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Ben, 36, live in Liverpool, husband to Jem, stepdad to Alfie and Millie, dad to baby Leo. I gave up booze 4 years ago. Didn't mean to. I said I was going to have a break for 3 months, extended it to six, extended it to 12. Day 366 went, right, this is good for me. I'm going to do this full time. I'm rushing through because I cannot believe that I'm sitting here on a Zoom call with TV Sharon Hartley. OMG.
Well, you know, consider yourself lucky. I'm a very busy woman.
Yeah, at home last night, sitting there, flick over to put the news on, and there's Shazza sitting on the Northwest Tonight sofa. Talking about children in need.
The big round face.
And your big foam finger. You've got to see the picture. Go to our Facebook if you've not seen this picture yet. Shaz is there with a bright yellow T-shirt on and a big foam finger, bigging up children in need. Oh, it was great. TV Sharon Hartley. How about that? That would never have happened if you'd not removed booze 6 years ago.
Absolutely, Shaz. It wouldn't. Absolutely, it would not. And what do we keep saying, Ben, in the community, on the Zoom calls, in this podcast? You've got to do all of this full arse. Half-arsed just won't cut it. And so that's what I did yesterday.
We want more of those northernisms today, Shaz, because our guest joined us on the call and went, oh, I love hearing those English accents.
Which is a great point now to introduce this week's guest to Over the Influence. She is called Kate Nichols and she joins us live from Canada. How exciting. Kate, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks, Shazza. Nice to meet you.
You're more than welcome. I love that. Kate, it's fabulous to have you here. Thank you so much for the time. And what's the time difference, by the way? I know I always sound like a bit of a tourist when I say this. What's the weather like where you are and what time is it where you are?
All right. So I'm five. I'm English, but I live in Canada. So I'm 5 hours behind you. So you're 6 p.m. I'm 1 p.m. just gone. And the weather's beautiful. It's a crisp autumnal day here. I'm looking out at the
enough
forest.
That. Nice.
Lovely. Enough about how beautiful Canada is in the autumn.
Yeah.
It's actually lashing down here when the forecast is torrential rain and thunderstorms. But anyway.
For weeks, but forever.
We are here to talk about alcohol-free life. So before we get into your story, Kay, you know, what life was like for you as a drinker, what it's like now, just give us a bit of an intro. Who are you and what do you do?
Okay, I'm Kate. I'm just turned 60 years old. I'm married to Gareth and I have two grown-up kids. Georgia, she's my eldest, she's 26, and my son Isaac is 24. We've lived in Canada since 2008, so that's 16 years, and love it. Yeah, I gave up drinking 3 years ago, just over 3 years ago, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's the best life ever. I wish I'd done it sooner, but I don't, in ways I kind of wasn't ready. So I never really think too much about that. But yeah, I'm now, I have two jobs, but my main job is I'm an alcohol freedom coach. I like the word alcohol freedom because to me, it is a freedom. It's freedom. It's liberation. It is fantastic. Everything is good. Everything is better. So I call myself alcohol freedom and alcohol freedom coach. And I'm also a fitness instructor. So I do that as well in my mornings. I've been doing that for 10 years. And before that, in the UK, I lived in Derby, not 100 miles away from you guys. I was a social worker. I was an education social worker. I dealt with kids that didn't go to school frequently. So that's me.
That's you in a nutshell. That's amazing. I've got two questions to sort of kick us off with. Why did you decide to make the change at the age of 56, 57? And I just want to pick up on something here on the information that you shared with us before we recorded. You say here, I became spontaneously sober with a great amount of effort and willpower. What does that mean and what happened when you decided to make that change?
Well, spontaneously sober is basically when you decide to just give up and you, that's my understanding of it, and you draw the line in the sand and I'm not going to drink anymore. It was during COVID and I don't think I necessarily drank more during COVID, but I became very aware that my drinking was out of balance. It was out of control. It was very important for me to get alcohol when we weren't supposed to be leaving the house. I was finding ways to get it. I was finding ways to pay for it. And it became, I knew I was a heavy drinker, but I didn't know how important it was to me. And a few things happened with the family. I let them down. My daughter, my older one, she really, I was on the verge of losing her. She couldn't understand why, in her words, I chose alcohol over the family. I hid it. I went underground with it. And my husband basically, I now understand in terms of self-preservation and setting his own boundaries, he said he was going to remove himself from the house at the weekends because that was when my binge drinking really went on. I didn't drink every day. I didn't as a rule. I was functional. I didn't drink as a rule during the week. For many years, I kind of felt, well, my drinking's not that bad. But at the weekend, I hit it big time and it was getting earlier in the day. And it was horrible. And when I started to really think I was on the verge of losing my family, I decided to take full responsibility and stop. It was very hard. But it was only after that that I started to do the work in terms of understanding and the coaching that all evolved afterwards.
Just to carry on a little bit with what you're sharing with us, How does it make you feel now talking about what that was like? Because it doesn't get any worse, really, does it, in terms of the, well, what you stand to lose, which it's your family. And that's, you know, a really difficult position to be in. Obviously, now that's not the case. But when you talk about that and you reflect back, what's that like?
Well, it's horrible because it is that feeling of being out of control. I couldn't understand why, as someone who was functional and capable, why alcohol had this control over me. I now understand it as a coach, but at the time I couldn't understand why I'd wake up in the morning full of good intentions, steaming hangover, definitely not going to drink today or for a week or a month. And then by 6 o'clock that evening, I was going down buying alcohol. I now understand what it is. It's cognitive dissonance, what we call the split in the brain, you know, between your conscious and subconscious line of thinking. But at the time, but going back to it was horrible to reflect back. Just when the most important people to me in the world had enough of me. And I think when my daughter actually said to me, she said, you love alcohol more than us, more than me. I was like, well, no, of course I don't. Don't be silly. But then in a funny kind of way, I did. And I really did, in a kind of out of control way. So it was desperation. It was being out of control. I was frightened. I didn't know how I'd be happy because alcohol made me happy. It gave me that artificial buzz, that's artificial stimulation we get. I didn't know how I could cope with events, socializing. I was a big party person. I'm not so much now. So it was very, very frightened. But I did something very important, which I now coach by, which is I started to live in the present day by day. I didn't worry about all that. That I couldn't worry about the dinner party I might have in 2 months. I had to just live day by day. And I took care of myself. I applied boundaries around what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't go out if I didn't want to go out. I wouldn't go to events if I didn't, until I felt more comfortable. And then I started to experiment, and that's how it works. You get curious, and then you, with self-compassion and awareness, those three words, you start to take baby steps, but you've got to be ready, because if you're not ready, then you can default back to drinking very often, which is what I see a lot with my clients. But it was a dark place. I'm so glad to be on the other side.
And Kate, this was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that's amazing. Hearing that, I'm just looking at the email that you sent us, knowing that you were coming on the podcast. I'm surprised to hear all of that, just because you don't tell us all of that in your initial email. You tell us, like, you know, you're a global traveler. You've recently been to Vietnam, Cambodia, South America, you used to be a social worker in the UK. There's a small line in here about your family. Plus, my family started to put a lot of pressure on me to consider my relationship with alcohol, as things had become very strained, especially with my husband and adult daughter. You also tell us in this email that your daughter is now your best friend and biggest supporter, and that your son is your business partner. And this has all happened within 3 years.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, well, my daughter, she just wanted a mum. I mean, even though she was grown up, she grew up watching her mum get drunk, basically, and she hated it. And she just wanted to love me, and she wanted me to love her. And it was such a strain in that she really, well, she couldn't understand why I was so fixated with alcohol. So when I decided to stop, she was over the moon, and she just said, "I'm so, so pleased, but I don't know if I believe you're going to do it." Not that I'd really tried many times before, but even she, in her, well, she's an adult and she's, you know, she knows about things. She drinks herself sometimes. I think she knew it would be very hard for someone who is a habitual drinker. But I did do it. And then when she started to trust me again, she started to love me how she always wanted to love me. And we just get on so well. In fact, we're going to Hawaii in 3 weeks. Two weeks today. We're going. She's coming with us, my husband and I, and she's coming with her boyfriend, because we like to go on holiday together. And we just hang out, and she just loves her relationship with me, because I always was that Kate. I always was, but it was camouflaged. It was tarnished by this desire to habitually drink and to get drunk, because I would never just have one glass. I would always have a bottle. If I was going to have a glass of wine, it would be the bottle, without a doubt. So she just got her mum back. And as for my son, that was really unexpected, because he's 24 and he now has his own business. He uses, if you understand, well, you guys do, because you're in the business, platforms, funnels, you know, he's taken Go High Level, which is like a Kajabi, a platform, and he's made it specific for coaches. He now helps a bunch of my coaches set up an online business. And this is his full-time job now, because he saw how I, a middle-aged plus woman, who all I wanted to do was coach. I had no business clue. I'd never been in sales. I'd never been in marketing. And I was needing, if I'm going to function as a coach and to earn money, I needed to set myself up with a business, an online business. And he basically built me a website. He then got involved in this Go High Level. He's put his own stamp on it. And he now runs Facebook ads for me. He helps with my automations. He's just brilliant. And in return, I tell all my coaching buddies about him, and they go to him and they subscribe to him as I do. And so that's what I mean. So out of this decision to give up alcohol, wonderful things have happened. My daughter just loves her mum, and my son has changed. He's an engineering graduate, but he's now changed his direction. He's now an entrepreneur, and he's decided to help people like me.
Just first of all, thank you, Kate, by the way. I love how you said then, you guys know this, you're in the business. Shaz, I've just written down platforms, funnels.
Yeah, drop him an email.
We should probably Google what some of these things mean after this recording and then have a conversation. Right. I want to ask then about, I totally understand what you're saying about your daughter, you know, that I'm giving up alcohol. Okay, that's great. Also, not sure I believe you. But then as soon as that kind of trust was earned, it feels like that's when the relationship really, you know, sprung off and all these fabulous things happened. So how long did that take? I know that there's people out there listening to this who feel exactly like that. You know, they want to win that trust back of their kids, brothers, partners, whatever. How long did it take for that trust between you and your daughter to build to a point where she went, you know what, Mom's serious about this. She has given up. She's not giving up. She's done it.
Well, what happened with me was I stopped drinking, but then I love reading. So I started to Google Quit Lit. You know what I mean by that? You know, books that talk about giving up alcohol. And I Oh my gosh, I found them so inspirational. One in particular was This Naked Mind by Annie Grace. Now, I'm a student of hers. You're nodding, Sharon, you've heard about her probably.
She's been on the podcast and it was an absolute bizarre moment when she invited me on hers. I was like, this is crazy. This is amazing. Yeah, read the book a couple of times.
I'll have to look at your podcast with her. Yeah, that would be so cool. I love what Annie Grace stands for, but I loved that she talked about being in control of alcohol, not alcohol being in control of you. So, and at the time, I wanted to understand why I drank the way I did. That was what I really wanted to do. So I got quite into This Naked Mind. I ended up doing a year-long program called The Path with This Naked Mind, even though I wasn't drinking. I was the only one who didn't drink. Because she talks about you're truly alive when you have true freedom from alcohol. And she says when alcohol is small and irrelevant. And what she means by that is that alcohol serves no purpose. I have no desire to drink. And that's very different from how I was at the beginning when I decided to white knuckle it, to use willpower. It was very hard. And anybody will know how hard that is who's tried to do it. But when you start to understand that alcohol is just a substance, it's just a liquid in the glass, but we've given so much power to it, and it's all about our thoughts and beliefs and it being a ritual. It's all it is a habit that we've told ourselves we need. That's all it is. And when you start to understand the science, which is what Annie Grace does. So my daughter saw me do this course. So she saw my investment. And I loved this course because I started to study the coaches. I started to study the methodology. And I knew I would try and become a coach, which I did as soon as I could. So I've been a coach now for nearly 2 years. No, a year and a half, probably. And she, in answer to your question, Ben, she started to see my investment in this life I was creating, which is pure investment because I'm now heavily invested financially and, you know, certified. You know, I've, you know, two certifications I've got now. So, and then she saw how happy I was. And that's a huge part of it because I wasn't really very happy before. I didn't realize how unhappy I was because I think we often drink for a reason. But now I am so happy because everything in my life is aligned, if that makes sense. I'm not fighting anything in my brain. I'm not in turmoil. I live healthily and well in a way that's aligned with my values and what's important to me. And she saw this transition. She saw this development and she knew pretty early on that I meant business. And so then the trust, like you say, the trust had to come. And now she just knows that I'm not going to revert back. So she's got her mum back, yeah. She's definitely got her mum back.
That's huge, that statement, isn't it? That is absolutely huge.
Yeah, it's lovely.
They must be dead proud, your children.
Yeah, well, they seem to like me. They like hanging out with me. They didn't used to like me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, how hard is it to hang out in Hawaii, I suppose?
If I told my kids I was going to Hawaii, it'd be queuing up.
She's paying for herself. She's paying for herself. But it's lovely.
That's brilliant. And thank you for being so honest about it because it's an issue that comes up a lot on the podcast, in the community, on our Zoom calls. And a lot of people, as parents in particular, talk about shame and regret. And I wish I'd done this and I wish I'd done that. But as we touched on with you before, and I said it in the intro, you know, I sometimes wish I'd done it sooner. And I say sometimes, of course, I wish I'd done it sooner. In many ways, I wish I'd never bloody drank anything in the first place ever. But if I hadn't, then I wouldn't have stopped drinking. And then I wouldn't have got to this point in my life where I am now, where everything is, it is so much better. It's like a million times better than it was. And you said that you weren't ready to stop. And we've actually had people email us over the influence, and they love the guests and they love the podcast, but they've actually said to us, could you speak to some older guests that aren't in their 30s and 40s? And we're like, yeah, we'll try our best. Get in touch, share your stories. And for example, we've had Raphael on the podcast, who is an amazing community member. He started doing this when he was 63, 64, something like that. We've had a couple of other guests, grandparents that have been in the 60s as well. But I've also had a couple of people say, it's too late. It's too late. This is the way it's got to be. I'm 50 odd. It's too late and I can't be bothered. But the opposite of that is true in what you're sharing. What would you say to that?
Yeah. I mean, I love that you've brought this up, and I see it a lot with people I work with. And also the people who train to be coaches with me, a lot of them are my age. You know, a lot of them who are just starting out with a new like business, they are, so you're never too old. And I think that you have to be ready, because let's face it, back in the day, I can look back and say drinking was fun. I can say that. And I can see you nodding because it was fun back in the day. It's fun until it's not fun. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Until it yeah. takes its toll, the price is too high and it interferes too heavily with your values and what you hold dear. And it's one thing, you know, getting drunk with your mates when you're a student. It's another thing being a middle-aged woman sitting in a basement, ploughing through a bottle of wine and choosing that rather than spending time going bowling with the kids, which is what I chose every time, to sit on my own and wade through a bottle of wine. That was more appealing to me than spending quality time with my kids. I don't dwell on things because I can't undo them. My past is my past. It's my reality. It's fact. I can only change from my moment and moving forward. Would I say to people, you're definitely not old? Oh my gosh, I mean, I know coaches, I've had clients in their 60s. You're never too old, because as long as you've got your health, your enthusiasm, your vision, your health is obviously important, but your health is so much better when you do remove alcohol. And we've got a whole life ahead of us, touch wood. And just making that decision now is never too late, because what are you going to do? Accept that what is, life's okay. You're going to accept that it's fine. I might as well carry on, but you're not really happy. Or are you going to draw that line and say, I deserve better. I deserve me. I deserve my self-worth. I deserve the best remaining years of my life to be optimal, to be aspirational, to follow my dreams. And because everything is so much better being alcohol free, your energy levels, I could go on and on, but I will just tell you this because it's important. After I'd given up alcohol for 3 months, three major health improvements happened for me. I came off high blood pressure tablets. I no longer had high blood pressure. And I also suffered with two quite severe chronic skin conditions, psoriasis and rosacea, both inflammatory. And they both disappeared along with the high blood pressure after I'd been alcohol free for 3 months. And my doctor couldn't believe it. And she said, and I knew, she knew it had to be the removal of alcohol. Because it's stress in your body, you know, and you, when you remove it, you get back to balance. Your body gets back to balance. So the gifts keep coming. I always say giving up alcohol, it's the gift that keeps giving, because you don't even know what's going to come, because it comes with bonuses after bonuses after. And like, did I think I'd be in business with my son? Did I think I'd have a business? Did I think I would be living the life I live now? Absolutely not. No.
I want to come back to just how quickly that's all happened. 3 years is not a long period of time.
No.
Is it? You know, and to think that, you know, where you are now, not just in terms of the work and all that, but the kind of self-development stuff, but also the family, you know, it's like, that's the reason, isn't it? That's the reason why it's never too late to do it, because in a very short space of time, and you can now enjoy all of these fabulous things, but as you say, hopefully a very long time to come. I mean, you know, do you ever think about what would have happened if you hadn't had that spontaneous moment? Or do you not like to go there?
I try not to dwell because that's negative, and I am lucky in that I'm a very, you'll know the expression, glass half full person. I always have been. So I've always had positivity. I was a positive drinker, if you know what I mean. I was never I drank because I was sad or depressed. I drank because I wanted the buzz and I wanted the party atmosphere. So I was happy with everything I did, but, I don't dwell on it. Because I don't know where it would have gone. I do suspect my health would have suffered. I suspect I might not have a relationship with my daughter. I don't like to really imagine too much. Would I still be with my husband? Probably. But I mean, he would have probably distanced himself from me as he was beginning to do. I just am so present, and I do coach by that as well, by being present, because the only thing you can really affect is now, is your present time. You can make plans for the future, but for the past, all you can do is learn from it and say, that happened and now I've changed that. If it's something that's happened that was not positive or was detrimental, then I did that, but I didn't know any better at the time. And back to your point about shame and guilt, I see so much of that in the community. People feel so trapped with the shame and guilt because societally we are led, and I think things are changing, and you guys are doing a lot to change the mentality around this, and to change the discussion around this. But in the thick of my drinking, words like alcoholic, if you drank too much, you were a lush, you had no control, you were weak. If I was a stronger person, I wouldn't be a drinker like this. And I now know through the work I do that we have a great saying that while it's not our fault, we became prey to an addictive substance, because we're animals at the end of the day. We're all susceptible with enough exposure and enough repetition. We're all susceptible, but it is our responsibility to change. So while it's not our fault, it's our responsibility to change if we desire to. So I know that the drinker I was, it wasn't my fault. So I don't blame myself.
It just reminded me of a Laura McCowan quote,
yes,
isn't it? When it's not my fault, but it is
that.
My responsibility. No, yeah. It's really interesting. It plays into something I was thinking about last week, and like I was thinking about, you know, what, and we talk about this loads, but my life wouldn't have carried on if I'd carried on drinking. It wouldn't have just carried on in a straight line. Like, how can I do this on a podcast? I suppose it's like a fork in the road where, you know, you're going on a straight line and you can follow the left fork, which kind of veers off to the left and carries on veering off to the left, or you can veer off to the right and that carries on veering off to the right as well, in like a big Y. And what I mean by that is that, like, it's not just life and stuff and work and relationships. It's not just all getting better kind of relative to where I was when I decided to stop. There's also that whole other bit of where it was going. You know, and actually that shows how even further away life is now from where it could have been. And I think that's why, you know, when you're talking about, you know, you're never, like, you can give it whenever you want to, you know, it's because of that fork. It's because it will immeasurably get better. And let's face it, you know, it's what it does. It gets worse. You know, it's progressive. That's the whole point. You know, I think it's worth remembering that anyway. Yeah. That was my.
And for the purposes of this podcast episode,
wisdom.
I just need to explain. No, but Ben's gesticulating.
All the arm gestures. Yeah.
His arms are everywhere. There's
it's
a
like
lot
I'm
of
landing
wide
a plane.
Arms.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Yeah, coming in.
Would you agree with that, Kate?
Yeah,
what Ben was sharing there?
I think that going back to how bad does it have to be before you make a change? And I think that is, it doesn't have to be a rock bottom in the truest sense, but something has to happen whereby you say enough's enough. It's causing too much destruction. Because let's face it, in the early days, it's very, very hard to step outside your comfort zone and become a non-drinker when all you know is drinking. You're like a fish out of water. You you don't know what to do with yourself. And it takes, you do really have to work at it until you start to see the light. But yeah, no, I do agree. There's a fork, and what makes you make that decision to do it? And everybody will have some decisions are like dreadful, like a DUI or, you know, something dreadful happens, like an accident, or they get hurt. Let's face it, you can have an accident because you're drunk. I mean, I've fallen downstairs and cracked ribs and stuff like that, or cut myself cooking. But for me, it was, it was definitely the family, the thought of losing them. That really made me to stop in my tracks and the fork of in the road, like you described, Ben. I have to take responsibility, and only you can. And that was massive for me, just realizing nobody else could do this for me, nobody else apart from myself. And then that makes you very strong sometimes. It makes you resourceful. And it makes you collect data, and it makes you go to what you needed to go to. And for me, because my husband actually said, oh, I'm going to look into recovery for you. His words, I'm going to look into recovery. I was like, no effing way are you going to be doing anything like that. You need to leave this with me. I need to find my way to navigate this journey moving forward. And I did it with the help of, the likes of This Naked Mind and Annie Grace, you know.
Can I jump in there and just play devil's advocate for a moment? Why did you reject his help and went, no, this is my thing, when he was probably just trying his best to think, right, I need to help you with this situation?
I think because he used the words recovery, and to me it was like everything I dislike now about the idea of AA, and I'm not demoting it. I'm sure it's helped thousands and thousands of people. To me, anything like that sounded disempowering, and I do stand by that still. But we're all different. We're all wired differently. I needed to find my own truth in a way that was as appealing as it possibly could be. So, for instance, I take a lot of inspiration from the likes of Annie Grace, Laura McCowan, Holly Whitaker, the great books that are out there of badass women who are party women, who are the life and soul. And I was the life and soul. And I still am, but in a different way kind of thing. But you know what I'm saying, that you don't have to be dull. You don't have to be, mouse-like and sit and say nothing in the corner. Wonderful people are sober. And also, I'm just remembering your question. When he wanted to intervene in that way, it felt like he was going to put me somewhere, and that wasn't for me. I wanted to find my own way. So I just said, leave it with me and I'll save you a ton of money as well.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting, isn't it? And, you know, listening to you speak, it resonates so much. I can hear so much of my own journey. And we always use this J word, but it's what it is, adventure, journey, whatever you want to call it. I can hear so much of what you're saying in my own personal story, but it's got to come from you, hasn't it? Ultimately, Ben made the decision. I made the decision. You made the decision. Just about every one of our community members made the decision. Even after a decade, years of people going, I think you're drinking too much. You don't think you're acting like a bit of an arse. Do you not think you want to be slowing down? No, there's no issue. There's absolutely no issue. And then all of a sudden you go, actually, yeah, okay, maybe. Well, I'll just take a break then and I'll just prove that there isn't an issue. And it's at that point, well, it was for me anyway, where I did take that break to prove, I don't know what I was really trying to prove, that I could take a break, you know, and that maybe there was no issue. But taking that break highlighted a massive issue, and I've never looked back, and it's been the best thing ever. That's a really long-winded way of saying, Kate, that the time's got to be right, hasn't it, I suppose, for you?
Yeah, because I think you're going to be half-hearted otherwise. I think that I do come across people in my work where other people have coerced them into getting coaching. And it does happen. Their spouse or their friends have said, you need to get help. And they come to me, but they're half-hearted. They really are, because there's a, while anybody believes that alcohol still serves a purpose, it's very hard to shift the mindset. And this is what I tell my clients, that you have to believe that while you hold on to beliefs, that alcohol, it will serve a purpose to help you de-stress. It will help you numb all the things you give it a job for. While you continue to believe that that is the case, you will stay stuck, in my opinion.
I totally agree, but there's a disclaimer that I've got to put here before we carry on this conversation, Kay, which I feel like, yes, the time has got to be right. Disclaimer, the time is never right. And what I mean by that...
Yes, 100%.
I'm obsessed by this. I'm obsessed by this moment. The moment that people... the switch flicks. I'm obsessed by that. And why? And how can we get into more people's heads earlier and, you know, get that switch flicked? Got it right around that time.
Flick switched?
There's always a reason why now isn't the right time. Always.
Yeah.
Always a reason. So, yes... there's got to be the right time, but do you see what I mean about disclaimer?
Yeah. Well, it does have to be, because while you people stay stuck while they retain their cognitive dissonance, and what I mean for your listeners, they don't understand it. It's like the war in the brain that says, "I should know better, but I love drinking. I should know better, but I love drinking." And while you've got that argument in the brain, which is why we carry on drinking when we don't want to, you will be going and coming, you know, to and forth like that. It's when you have to have all your ducks in a row and say, "I want this life." And then something wonderful happens, is that once you start to build momentum, you start living life as a non-drinker, you keep, like I said, it's the gifts keep coming, the rewards keep coming, because you start getting all the bonuses, which in my life, it's only been 3 years, like you say. Look at how much has come my way. And none of it would be happening if I hadn't gone down this journey, the journey word again. But it's so true. It's so true. Yeah.
I'm not sure I was ready when I gave up alcohol.
No.
Like for me, I did it. I set a target, and that target was the reason that I did that first 3 months. Like I don't think I was internally ready. It was like, go on then, I'll give it a go. I'll do it for this amount of time. Like consistency is one of the most, I talk about consistency all the time on this podcast, Kate, but I also realize that I am full of small inconsistencies. Like, for example, when I was at university, I was convinced that I saw a ghost, but I absolutely don't believe that ghosts exist. You know, try and rectify that in your own brain. Do you know what I mean? I think with this, what I'm saying is, I totally hear you. I look back on it now, and yes, I was absolutely ready to do this then, and it was the right time for me to do it. But I still know that I didn't feel that at the time. I didn't like. I always planned to go back to drinking again. Mm. It just so happened that because I'd made this commitment, I'm not going to do this for 3 months, and therefore I've said, and you know, I have to go back on it. And what am I going to say to Shaz? And you know, Yeah, like I know that certain things dragged me through that first, and I wasn't ready, and that's why I say that I don't think it's that disclaimer, and also that the idea that sometimes it's other thing, it's not that kind of that lovely harmonious right, this everything is aligned, and now I'm a non-drinker. I felt more kind of like, why have I said I'm doing this? God, I can't wait for this 3 months to be over. And then it changed. No, within that period, it changed. Sorry. Anyway, I've been talking for ages.
No, but don't you think, though, exactly that what happened in those 3 months to make you remain a non-drinker? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What happened in those three months to make you... And I would argue, possibly, because your life was so much better. Would you say that you sampled a better way of living?
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that.
But also as well, this could be a whole other episode. I really like where this is going, but we've not got loads of time left. You don't know what you don't know until You start. Is that the same? You don't
you don't know.
Hang on a minute. You don't know what you don't know. Basically, you haven't got a clue what is coming your way in sobriety. You genuinely do not have a clue. Was I ready? No. I was ready to take a break physically. I was absolutely knackered and ruined. I had no intention of stopping drinking because, like you, Kate, I was the life and soul of the party and that's what I'm going to do every day because wine is fun and it's all great. I did not know what sobriety was other than not drinking alcohol. And I did not know what was coming my way. If you'd have told me what was coming my way at the age of 31, I'd have gone, sign me up. Yes, let's do this. Because it's just been nothing but a surprise. And like every day, there is still something surprising mm-hmm. in sobriety. And so you don't know what you're in store for until you give yourself that chance. I am talking in riddles and circles, but I think I'm making some sort of point.
I completely agree with you, yeah. You don't know what direction you're going to go in.
No.
And I mean, the day I gave up, to think that I'd become a sobriety coach or alcohol-free coach. I mean, no idea at all. I mean, my husband to this day, he says, I can't believe what you're doing. I cannot believe what you're doing. And he's such a support for me, and like I say, my family, because you don't know the knock-on effect. And this is what I say to clients, is that I say to them, visualize the life you want for yourself and add loads on. Because I've never met anyone who regrets giving up drinking. I don't know about you guys, but I never have.
Not one person. There's Ben's a massive fan of quotes, and he's got a quote board. And you were talking earlier about Quitlet. I've got a book coming out in January, January the 2nd. Life-changing magic of quitting alcohol. Stop drinking and start living. There's a quote in that book quoted directly from Ben Anderson. And Ben, you will get to see this.
Eventually. I've been doing this podcast with Sharon, right, for 4 years. I would absolutely, unequivocally say that Sharon Hartley is one of my best friends in the world. I found it, and she said, no one can read this book, not even you. No one can read this book before it's published. I've ordered 10 copies, by the way, Kate, to support one of my very best friends, Sharon.
It was
Hartley.
A sympathy purchase. I think, what had you done? You'd forgotten my birthday or something. So you said, yeah, I'll order 10 books.
Right. Anyway, I can't remember exactly why, but in my head, it was to support you. And it turns out that it's been sent out to people all over the place. Because she's doing all these swanky interviews, right?
It is not.
I still haven't read a bloody copy. Yeah, anyway. Sorry, why are you talking about being an author again?
I'm talking about it because you're quoted in it, my friend. My dear alcohol-free bestie. There you go. So shut up. You're in there. And it's a really simple quote. Ben, why wait?
Why wait to feel great?
There we go.
Why wait?
I've got better quotes than that. Come on.
Yeah, but no, I quote you in that. It's in there.
That's not the only thing. There's more. There's more than just.
There's more. Yeah, there's other quotes. But I'll tell you what, if you listen to this, you're going to have to read it to find out what Ben actually says.
I'd love to read it. Personally.
I'm talking to the listener. Anyway. I'll send you your copy. We'll have this argument if you don't mind. All right, we'll save it. Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. It's been really interesting. And I love the way that the conversations have gone left, right and centre. We are just about out of time. We've got about one minute left.
Yeah.
Just to end, I know Ben referred to your notes right at the beginning of the episode, and you shared very honestly about the relationships with your family. So thank you for that. To end here, you say, I'm living my dream and love to inspire others. I'm fulfilled, have purpose. Life has never been better. When you hear that said back to you, how does that make you feel?
Tingly, because I know even though I wrote it still tingles with me, like I have to pinch myself. When you give something up that you think is going to be so hard to give up, it turns out to be the biggest gift. I don't think it's easy to imagine just how great it is. It really is, yeah. So it makes me feel very happy. And thank you so much for having me. I love your work, and a lot of my mates do. And see, you've got me saying mates, and I've only been talking to you for an hour.
Love it. You'll be saying half-arsed next, Kate. It'll all be coming out. Before you go, let people know where they can find more information about what you do.
Okay, so my best way to find me is I'm Freedom Effect with an A. So Freedom Effect, www.freedomeffect. My Instagram, my social media handles on that. And I will give a shout out to my son. His business is In Motion, Isaac Nichols, In Motion. And he is a great support to coaches who are just starting out on their online business. So a shout out to him. But thank you so much for having me. And I love your work. And my friends were so chuffed when I told them I was coming onto your podcast. You've got a great reputation, a great following. I love the work you do. So thank you for having me.
You can come again. Thanks, Kate.
Well, thank you.